Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Tyler Aki, and editor of Chicago District Golf Magazine, Barry Cronin.
And welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki, Barry Cronin, and Mike Gilligan with us today. Mike joining us, a former tournament director over at Brookline Country Club, the site of the U.S. Open. So much going on today. Happy Father's Day to all. Happy Father's Day to both of you as well.
Thank you, Tyler. Happy future Father's Day to you.
Well, that's the hope, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, we got lots to get to today. The U.S. Open going down to their final round, and this has been a really interesting tournament so far. You've got the big name sitting there among the best right now, with Jon Rahm currently sitting third, Scottie Scheffler in a tie for fourth, Rory McIlroy in a tie for seventh. You've got a local guy in Nick Hardy. He is currently 10th, the only player sitting at exactly even par right now over the course of the first 3 days. And then in your final pairing today, it is Will Zalatoris and Matt Fitzpatrick, each of them going for their first victories they haven't had a PGA Tour victory, but we've seen what Will Zalatoris has done over the course of his last couple of majors, 5 top 10s in 8 major starts so far in his career. And Matt Fitzpatrick, he won a U.S. Amateur out at the Country Club in Brookline, so there's familiarity with the course. And it's a really, really fun leaderboard here heading into this final round.
It's tremendous. Yesterday, if anybody watched it in person, I mean on TV, whatever, obviously you'd watch it on TV. Just a great day for golf. I mean, Scheffler took the lead. He makes the eagle from the 8th fairway, and he takes a 2-stroke lead and then gives it all back on the back 9. People going back and forth. Zalatoris winds up in the lead, and then Matt Fitzpatrick, who you sort of thought, well, it doesn't look like he's going to do anything, winds up tied for the lead. And then Rahm, you think he's doing great, and then all of a sudden he makes a 6 on the par 5, the final hole, and couldn't get out of the fairway bunker. You know, I mean, I thought I was watching a 15 handicapper in that fairway bunker when he hit the side and it came back to his feet. So today should be an absolutely great day. The Country Club, the golf course has shown great. None of the players are complaining about it. We had John Bodenhamer on this show last week, the guy who set up the course. I mean, they've done a fantastic job. You don't hear any of the whining and complaining from the players that you would a lot of times hear during a U.S. Open. So it's great. It's going to be a great Sunday, and it's just fantastic.
And I would also add, USGA is delighted and pleased. Mm-hmm. The Country Club is one heck of a venue, and the USGA did not get in the way of themselves setting up the golf course. And to Barry's point, the golf course is fantastic. I think they made some key moves, putting in that short little par 3. The shortest hole of the course derailed the number one player in the world with one swing. After that, it seemed like lug nuts were flying off of his bus,
right,
and the wheels wobbled. And
right.
But he did get it back into the clubhouse at a point. So, all in all, I think, you know, the weather today is going to be a big story. I don't think it's going to even hit 60 degrees there. And having been up in that New England area, weather can be very unpredictable, and the winds, that's what's really given those players some headaches. And, you know, Rahm was in that bunker, and, yeah, he looked a little bit like us, but the bunkering at the Country Club is very severe. It is really tough.
Well, Mike, you've run tournaments up there at the Country Club, the Ryder Cup back in 99, but when you look at trying to not predict this weather, but you know what you're setting up for today, what are these golfers going in for here? Because it was rough yesterday. You saw some players blow up. Colin Morikawa goes 7 over yesterday after being one of those guys atop the leaderboard. But when you're one of those guys who's going into this final round here, winds are going to be swirling. Do you like the guys who, all right, they've been in the big major shoes before? Or do you think that a guy who maybe is familiar with the course and has won at the course, like a Matt Fitzpatrick, is set up nicely for today?
Well, in my own personal opinion, I love Matt Fitzpatrick here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got some of the best iron players in the world atop this leaderboard, and there's good reason for it. But I think the player today that wins is going to be the player who can flight his ball and keep it under the wind, And when he wants to ride it, knows how to get it up and punch it through that jet stream and get the most of it. But the ability to, you know, manage your distance, but with the wind, whether it's going across you or into you, is going to be the guy that wins, because it's where you put the ball on the green, which is going to allow you to either be somewhat aggressive with your putter, or are you going to be the guy that's putting defensively and, you know, fearing the course as it comes to you?
Right. And you know, as you look at the leaderboard, Tyler, Zalatoris, maybe the best ball striker in the field right now. He and Fitzpatrick are going to be in the final pairing I guess it's 1:45 our time, and maybe 1:45. Yeah, it says 2:45 on here, but I don't know if that's Eastern time. But anyway, sorry. So Fitzpatrick has won the U.S. Amateur here, as you pointed out, in 2013. But Zalatoris played here in the 2013 U.S. Amateur, and so did I think Scheffler, and so did Burns, and I believe
a lot of young guys
and Hardy
yep.
played in it too. So probably Denny McCarthy. It's going to be really competitive here today.
I'm looking, too, at when you've got a guy like Will Zalatoris, who's been this close so many times, is this finally the moment for him to break through? And listen, putting isn't known to be one of his strong suits, but once he's gotten to these majors, he has been lights out on the greens. And that, to me, in not just golf, but any sport, when you can change your identity in playoff and in championship moments and make one of your weaknesses a strength for you, that is the ultimate sign of someone who's due to win something eventually. And it feels like Will Zalatoris, he's been on that doorstep. He was in the PGA Championship playoff with Justin Thomas. He's finished second in a Masters. He's been on the doorstep of so many of these majors. It feels like his time to finally break through.
Right. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I was going to say, that's very quite conceivable. That kid is so talented. It's amazing that he hasn't won already, but this could be his time. But all the players are going to experience a heartache, a heartbreak, an emotional, you know, challenge, whether it's early in the round, early in the right. front nine, or even in the middle of the round. Their ability to not cave in and not give up and have that fortitude and carry it all the way through, because it's going to happen to everybody. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster out there. And for us on Father's Day, the best place in the whole world to watch it is going to be right on our couch.
Right. And interesting. And Mike, to your point, John Rahm had the lead. He was going to be in the final pairing yesterday. And then he made a six on the final hole. So now he's one stroke back. He'll be playing with Keegan Bradley, who won the PGA, I believe, in 2011, which is a long time ago, has been in a long slump, and in the last year or so has come back. So he and Rahm will be in the second to last pairing. So and Rahm's at one back at 3 under. Bradley's at 2 under. And then, of course, you have Adam Hadwin and Scottie Scheffler at 2 under. And of course, Burns and Rory McIlroy are at 1 under in the third to last group. So it's going to be just great. I mean, McIlroy expended a lot of energy yesterday. I mean, he played yeah. great on Friday, and he hit it all over the place yesterday. And wound up shooting a 3 over. So, but still, even so, as you said, Mike, he's only 3 strokes back, and there are going to be people blowing up in front of him.
Oh, no doubt. And you know what's also interesting? If Will Zalatoris or Scottie Scheffler were to win, they would be the fourth player to have ever won the United States Junior Amateur as well as the U.S. Open, joining the likes of a Johnny Miller, a Jordan Spieth, and a fella by the name of Tiger Woods.
Not bad company right there.
That'd be an ultimate foursome, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. So looking at some of these other names hovering atop the leaderboard right now, like we saw in the PGA Championship, Justin Thomas kind of came out of nowhere on that final day, especially down the stretch. when you look at some of these guys who, all right, sitting in the top 10 now, who would you say are some of the sleeper candidates? Like, if you look at a Joel Damon, someone who's put together a couple nice rounds but blew up yesterday, you look at Rory, a guy who's put together a couple nice rounds but blew up yesterday, or is it going to be a guy who's been maybe more in the consistent zone, like a Keegan Bradley right now, who's pretty much shot about the same every single day? He's gone 70, 69, 69. Do you think it's going to be someone that just goes really low today, or is par going to be a saving grace for a lot of these guys, given what the wind and weather conditions could be like today?
I think history tells you that that it'll come in the final pairing or the final two pairings. That's what the statistics say. You know, that's why they play the game, as they say. I think Scheffler's right there. McIlroy had a bad day yesterday, but he'll be there. And I think that Sam Burns, man, you know,
I've been touting Sam Burns for weeks on the show. I picked him.
We got a whole segment planned, don't we, Tyler, on the fact that I'm leading the fantasy golf. Four guys in the top 25, but I digress. I do think it could, I think at the top six, seven guys on the, you go down to T7, I don't think Damon's T7 also, but you've got tied for seventh, McIlroy, this is at one under. McIlroy, Burns are at one under. Scheffler at two under. Adam Hadwin, I don't have a lot of hope for him. Bradley, possibly. That would be unbelievable if Keegan Bradley won this. And certainly Rahm, Fitzpatrick, Zalatoris, they're all right there. The thing about Zalatoris and Fitzpatrick, though, they've never won on the PGA Tour. Right. Fitzpatrick has won a bunch in Europe, but that's not the best players in the world every week. But he has, like you said, he's won the amateur. But these last two guys, Zalatoris was in the playoff with Justin Thomas at the PGA, and he's been kind of in the major fire, I'd say. Fitzpatrick, though, you watch his interviews, you know, he's pretty solid. I think he looks pretty confident. But then so does Zalatoris, and Zalatoris is going around here 69, 70, 67. He doesn't seem to have expended a lot of emotional energy, unlike Rahm and unlike McIlroy yesterday.
Well, and you also failed to mention the former U.S. Open champion, Gary Woodland. He's sitting there at plus one.
Yeah.
Now, that's only five shots out. Anything can happen today.
Wow.
It just, anything can happen.
And so Nick Hardy's in the mix then.
So
he's 10th. He's 10th.
He
and
is
he's,
in the mix.
He shot 73 yesterday. He's even par. And it's great to have a local rooting interest. Nick Hardy, for those who don't know him, from Northbrook, Glenbrook North. He was, not only that, he was on our show. Okay, so
we've been giving guys bumps left
good
and right.
Karma. When you're on this show, you get good karma.
Yeah.
Ian Baker Finch is going to be on our show today. You know, so there's a possibility maybe he quits CBS and plays the senior tour. So there you go.
Now there, I'll make that bet. But speaking of local flavor, the guy, the intangible that he has working for him is Keegan Bradley. The kid is from Vermont. He's a New Englander with a Pacaz and Harvard Yard. But he is going to have the gallery behind him in the biggest of ways. If he were to get hot in any way, shape, or form, he will have Paul Revere and the Boston Tea Party all coming down the fairway with him. Big time. He will be the love son out there. But, you know, Fitzpatrick is sleeping in the same bed, in the same room, in the same house that he stayed in during the U.S. Open or the U.S. Amateur.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of cool little sidebar stories working, but it's going to be the survival of the fittest, and it's going to be Mother Nature is going to be a bit of the story and how these guys can handle it.
And you know what I really like about this, Tyler, is that, you know, you look at this leaderboard and you say, man, who would you not like to win this tournament? I mean, you can root for Zalatoris. You can root for Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Bradley, Scheffler, Burns, McIlroy. You know, you root for all these guys. These are all great guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Joel Damon, a terrific guy. Hardy. So I sit there and I go, wow, I'm rooting for – who am I rooting for? Oh, I'm rooting for Rahm. And then it changes and I go, oh, I'm rooting for – because that's what's cool about golf. It's not like you're rooting for – one side versus the other, although I did have a bit of a rooting interest earlier this week. We can talk about that later.
So, yeah, another thing, too. I mean, we talked about this in the PGA Championship, how the leaderboard was missing some flair. Now, when it was all said and done and the champion was crowned, Justin Thomas is exactly who the PGA Tour wanted to win that event, right? But this is a leaderboard here where you've got your Rahm, you've got your Scheffler, you've got your McIlroy up there. Okay, you've also got a little bit of the new up-and-coming guys as well with a Will Zalatoris sitting right there. So this has been a really intriguing leaderboard for me heading into this final round at Brookline.
Yeah, I think that some of these guys, you know, Tiger Woods is not up there. Phil Mickelson's not up there. The big super names of the stars of the PGA Tour. But those guys are older guys, obviously. Tiger's not here. Would the average person down, if you walked out here on Staten Lake and you asked somebody, hey, who's Will Zalatoris? Or if you said, hey, who's Tiger Woods? They go, oh, he's a golfer, right? Will Zalatoris, they go, I don't know. You know, he could be a... He could be anybody, right? They don't know who he is. Matthew Fitzpatrick could be the alderman of the 32nd Ward in Chicago. You don't know. John Rahm, they wouldn't know. But for golf fans and people who are into sports, I think, yeah, you're right. These are good names.
I mean, it's also a chance to watch tomorrow's stars literally today.
Yeah.
I mean, this golf course, this type of event, the U.S. Open, unlike the PGA, unlike the Masters, I mean, Tiger Woods pulled out of this event for a reason. The property at the country club is so, there's so much undulation in the what you have to walk. It is all kinds of rock outcroppings, and it is just a brutal test for just endurance. So there's no wonder that you have a lot of the youngest, most fit players on tour surviving this. And there's a nice international flair on the leaderboard. You've got age in here, you've got talent, you've got some of the mid stars, if you will, the Rorys of the world, and John Rahms, the guys that might be the next up and coming number of major wins in their career. So I think this leaderboard is everything the USGA wanted and more.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we've got some great stuff to give away. We've got some U.S. Open hats, some club head covers as well. We'll tell you how you can win those coming up next. Also, Will Zalatoris had a lot to say after his final round. You will hear from Zalatoris when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's from 5.5 feet. He's seen the board. He knows this is for the outright lead. He's got it.
What a day for Will Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris in your final pairing heading into round four from the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. The 122nd U.S. Open heads into its final leg today. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin, Mike Gilligan with us as well today from the CDGA. And we've got ourselves a fantastic day heading into this final round. Will Zalatoris, along with Matt Fitzpatrick in that final pairing, and then John Rahm sitting one shot back at 3 under, Keegan Bradley and Adam Hadwin and Scottie Scheffler all at 2 under today. Weather's going to be daunting today. Temperatures in the low 60s. There's going to be plenty of wind as well today. We saw the wind really play a factor yesterday, but this weather that we're going to be facing heading into this final round is going to be something that is really going to be a story heading out of today.
Absolutely. The weather, no doubt, is going to be the story. It'll be survival of the fittest, and it'll be a game of patience. Patience with their emotions, patience with their ball striking and flighting of the ball. And I think it's going to be the player who allows the golf course to come to them versus trying to force, you know, a circle into a square. And there'll be that moment for that one player that he decides to literally go for it and put it all on the line and comes through with the shot. And I don't know when it'll happen or where it'll happen, but that's why we watch.
The difference among these top players is such a fine line. You know, you see it yesterday where 1 minute you think, Scotty Scheffler's going to run away with it. And then he bogeys three holes in a row on the back nine. And all of a sudden, McIlroy's back into it. And then he bogeys. And then you think, oh, John Rahm's got a lead, and he's going to be in the final pairing on Sunday. And then he bogeys the 18th hole. Couldn't get out of a fairway bunker, looking like a 15-hand, not really like a 15-handicapper, but... You know, it was hard. It's a hard grip. You imagine how difficult that shot is, that he couldn't get that ball out of that bunker, and how high the bunker is. My beautiful wife, who doesn't really plays golf, but never hits in it, she goes, wow, that bunker in front of the 18th green is really deep. I'm going, yeah, you know, I mean, you can't even see. And they deepened it since Curtis Strange was in it four or five times when he won the U.S. Open at the Country Club back in 1988. So it's going to be terrific, and I think, I don't know how you pick a winner among these guys, and I don't know if you should. I just think I wind up rooting for everybody on the leaderboard, as I just said, but it's going to be a cool day.
So, yeah, speaking of that weather there, right now there's a light rain going down in Brookline, Massachusetts right now, but once that final pairing goes off and the final few pairings go off, temperatures should be settling in the low mid-60s, around 62, 64 degrees. Right now, the wind kind of tame, but by the time these guys are on the golf course, you're going to be looking at about a 15-mile-per-hour wind out in Massachusetts. And that, to me, is going to be one of the things that I'm looking forward to, because you've brought up how there are some really, really strong iron players out there in these final couple pairings that we're seeing. And can you control those amid all the wind? Because we saw it get away from some guys yesterday.
Right. And the other thing, you know, you mentioned about the rain. I don't know how much rain they're going to get, but if that rain can soften the greens and the fairways a little bit, if the fairways are not quite as firm as they are, maybe the ball doesn't run off into the rough quite as much, into that first or second cut of rough.
Boy, is it thick out there.
And that's a big deal, because then it becomes more like a regular PGA Tour stop, where it's not, the rough is not as high, it's not as punishing, and you can see how well they play in those kind of conditions versus this U.S. Open, and certainly the PGA also earlier, you know, last month. So depending on how much rain they get, and it would soften the greens, so the ball won't roll off the greens quite as much. So that'll be key. But again, if the wind gets up and it dries off the greens later in the day, so you know that could mitigate the moisture. So, yeah.
But having been up there, the temperature may say 61 or 62, mm-hmm. but it's going to feel like 54.
Right.
It's New England. It's mm-hmm. coming off the water.
Yep.
And it's cold. It's raw. And you know, but at the same time, yeah, the greens were baking out, so the rain may help in that regard. But you know, I think where the USGA needs to be given a lot of credit when credit is due is what they did with the rough. They didn't let this rough get out of hand like they used to. When you go in it, you can at least advance it, but it can be penal. But it's not the story. And I think to your point earlier this morning, Barry, the USGA is not getting criticized by the players. And let me tell you, these guys would let their feelings be known if there was any feelings of unfairness, or you know, why did you do that, or why did you put a pin there? So the USGA will be really paying attention to the weather when they set these hole locations, so that we don't get into a situation where the golf course setup becomes the headlines, and the players will play and they will tell the story, and that's how it should be.
I saw yesterday a quote from Justin Thomas. He was very, very complimentary of the course, and just saying, like, this is what a U.S. Open should feel like. This is how the U.S. Open course should play. You look at the field and you look at what guys are doing. The bogeys aren't punishing for you, and the birdies are hard to come by. A lot of players shooting right around par. You're not seeing anyone go super low. You're not seeing anyone go super high either.
Right. And when they hit the ball in the rough, it's a half or full stroke penalty. And that's kind of what it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not hitting it. You know, I mean, for a while there, the USGA got away from the punishing element of the U.S. Open. Remember when they used to have the grass was so super high and everybody would scream and complain? Then they went the other way, and I mean, when Mike Davis took over, they went soft. They did. They got soft. And they said, oh, they believed the hocus pocus from the players saying, oh, we should be able to chip and putt from around the greens and it's too punishing and whatever. And it became more like a British Open. He started to set it up more like a British Open. And then the U.S. Open lost its identity. And I think a lot of people felt like, well, is this a U.S. Open? Like when Rory won a congressional, it was like a PGA Tour event. I think he won at 16 under. Then they brought it to Aaron Hills, and Koepka won at 17 under. It's like, really? This is the U.S. Open. I mean, Aaron Hills, the fairways were 100 yards wide, it seemed like. And Koepka just crushed everybody. So this is getting back to what the U.S. Open is supposed to feel like. Hardest tournament in the world to win. And that's what it should be. That's what it's always been. That's what it should be. It's not the British Open. It's not the PGA. I mean, the PGA was great. But this is even harder. And that's what it should be.
And it really should. I mean, you're seeing some of these guys taking almost like half a swing when they're only a few feet off the green to just to advance the thing onto the green and let it roll out. But you mentioned, you know, Justin Thomas, and he had a situation yesterday.
Yes, where, with the drain.
I'll tell you though, you know what? Honesty and karma, it goes together. I look for some good to happen to him today. You know, he could have bluffed his way into getting a free drop, but you know what? That's what makes golf so very great.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, too, because one of the guys atop the leaderboard right now is Adam Hadwin, and I can't remember what the event was, but it was about a year and a half ago. It was right in the midst of we're getting our first couple of COVID events on the PGA Tour. And something similar happened, and it was a self-report thing. And, you know, the good old Canadians, they're always going to self-report. They don't want to get in trouble.
Him. He's so great.
And it ended up being a good karma thing because I think he didn't come back to win, but he looked like he was going to be down and out, and he made a little bit of a charge after that, made the cut, and did pretty well in the event.
Right, and for people who maybe he didn't see it, Justin Thomas's ball came to rest right near a kind of a big drain. Mm-hmm. And it didn't affect his stance. But his lie was such that he kind of had a downhill lie right next to this big drain, and they asked him afterwards, and he just said, "Well, you know, it was just I thought about it, but he wasn't going to ask for a free drop." And as Paul McGinley said on the Golf Channel last night, he said, "I know there's a lot of players that would have asked for a free drop, but the fact that he didn't is all Justin Thomas, man. It's why you root for the guy, because he's honest, he's cool, he's clean, and he plays the game the way it should be played. And you know, and I'll just point out, his father was a PGA professional.
Yeah, that's so true. But you know, he did have stance issues. It was the most bizarre thing. His feet were going down towards the drain, but the club and the ball were going up the other side of the drain. So he had sort of a downhill stance with an uphill lie.
Right.
So that's why he chunked it 110 yards into the bunker.
All right. When we come back, we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Who do you think is going to win in today's final round of the U.S. Open? And we've got a little bit of a prize to give away, too. We've got, if you're watching us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, you can watch us today and every day, and it's sponsored by Alta Equipment. We've got a U.S. Open hat, a couple of them to give away here, and we've also got some great CDGA head covers as well. So how about that? You will win one of these. Let's go with caller 4, because the leaders right now, 4 under. Let's go with caller 10, because that's where Nick Hardy sits right now, in 10th place of the U.S. Open standings right now. So let's go with callers 4 and 10 right now, 312-332-3776. Tell us who you think is going to win the U.S. Open. We will take your calls, and we'll also hear from Will Zalatoris when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the CDGA Golf Show, the segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Rocky alongside Barry Cronin and Mike Gilligan, and we are talking all things U.S. Open. Don't forget, we're going to talk with Ian Baker Finch as well, the 1991 Open Championship winner, as well as a commentator for CBS. You'll see him on a lot of golf coverage, so we will talk to him at 8:15 on today's show. But first, let's go on out to the phones now. We'll start with Dan, who is in Wheaton. Dan got to us. He's caller number 4. Dan, who do you think is going to win the PGA Championship today?
The U.S.
Open.
The U.S.
Open today.
We're going to have a back-to-back.
Say again?
John Rahm.
John Rahm going back-to-back. All right. John Rahm is your pick. Why do you like Rahm today? He's sitting one stroke back of the leaders.
Someone was talking about the ability to flight the golf ball and being a dynamic iron player, and John Rahm is going to come to play today and make up for his snafu on 18 yesterday.
Not only that, I think he just, made some putts yesterday. I mean, 11, 12, 15, 20 feet that were just like so clutched for par. He just saved par. He saved, bogey. He made birdies. His putting, I mean, if you look at the top four or five guys on that leaderboard, I mean, I think he's a better putter than Zalatoris and maybe Fitzpatrick. I don't know, maybe they're even there, but I think Rahm's a great pick.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Rahm and Fitzpatrick, and I think Rahm's going to outduel him in the end.
Yeah. What do we think about a playoff today, guys?
Well, there's been a playoff every single one of these U.S. Opens at Brookline, too. So could we get our fourth?
Well, and if we do, we get to see the new format.
That is true.
It's a two-hole aggregate instead of going into Monday. So no matter what, we're going to have a winner today.
Yeah. All right, Dan, we appreciate you calling in, and let's get you on hold. They'll get your info as well. Bruce was caller 10. Bruce out in Bensonville. Bruce, what's going on? Who do you think is going to win today?
Hi, good morning, fellas. I kind of call for Will. Today. He's been on the front door the last few months, perhaps.
Yeah, he's great. He's played fantastic. He's played fantastic, runner-up at the Masters last year, and he's played tremendous in all these major championships. And, I wanted to point out Scheffler and Zalatoris. Scheffler won the this is props to the Western Golf Association that sponsors the NV5 Invitational. Scheffler won that when it was called the Evan Scholars Invitational in 2019. Will Zalatoris was runner-up in 2020. So we got a couple of guys on the leaderboard there that have been playing great golf the last couple of years.
Yeah, and plus he has the poise. I think he's a young kid, skinny, pretty good shape for the course. The course is tough. And like I said, he's due. So
he's probably skinny and good shape like you, right?
Well, no, I'm not sure though.
Young.
I'd like to have his game. He's a great kid. So
yeah. Terrific.
Hope you can pull it out.
All right, Bruce, I like your pick there. I like Zalatoris as well. Let's get you on hold there, and we'll get your information. So, yeah, I think those are two really good ones. You've got an established guy, a guy who's won the U.S. Open before in John Rahm. You've got Will Zalatoris, who, I mean, he can't finish second again, right?
Well,
you never know.
Bills
Greg Norman finished second all the time, so what the heck. And Fitzpatrick, and it's interesting, the last time we had a playoff was Curtis Strange, who went to Wake Forest, as did Will Zalatoris, and Nick Faldo, who was from England, like Matt Fitzpatrick.
That's right. Yeah.
So, we should remind everybody that it was Nick Faldo versus Curtis Strange in a playoff in 1988. It was an 18-hole playoff on Monday, which is how the USGA used to run it. And that was a pretty exciting playoff. So, I think we're going to get a playoff today.
So Will Zalatoris, we've been talking a lot about the weather and how it's played a big role in some of the scores that we've seen out at the Country Club this week. Will Zalatoris, this was after his round yesterday, talking about the impact of the weather and the scores that we were seeing in yesterday's round.
There are some big changes. I think I had like 312 into 14 on Thursday, and I had like 258 front today. you know, it's a, this place is a beast. I mean, when I played here in the AM in 2013, I said this was the hardest golf course that I'd ever played. You know, it's just so easy to compound mistakes out here, which, of course, you can do that in major championships in general, but especially this one. You know, so I think, you know, the biggest thing for me tomorrow, obviously there's a ton of major champions on this leaderboard, and by no means is the job done, but, you know, not even close. But just keep doing what I'm doing. Make sure that I just get myself on the green as fast as I can, or at least minimize the mistakes.
And he talked about the compounding of mistakes there. And Mike, you've played that course a number of times at the Country Club, and albeit not the format that it's in, but you've played all these holes before. Just seeing what, like the mistakes that you can multiply, and then you can really see that score blow up. What is going to be key for a lot of these guys, especially given the conditions of the wind, and it's not going to be warm out there either. You're going to feel some stingers out there.
No, you are, and I think Will brings up a great point. It is a beast, you know, and I've always said I thought Oakmont is the hardest golf course without any water, but this golf course is right there because it does have some water, but it has outcropping. It's got a little bit of everything, the high grass. It almost feels a little like Lynx style at times, but the greens are so tiny and so penal. So when you miss a green, your adventure really starts to begin. And it's almost like, you know, you pull on that thread on a sweater. You think you're just going to snap it right off, but the next thing you know, the whole thing starts unraveling. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what can happen. And, you know, we had a guy make a 9 yesterday on number 8. If you can get through number 8 without having to play up and down, up and down, up and down with missing the green there, I mean, that's going to be a benchmark moment getting through that part of the golf course. But there's, at any given point in time, this golf course can, you know, rear its ugly head, and it can compound a minor mistake into a major one in a heartbeat.
You know, I was listening to Adam Hadwin's press conference yesterday. He's the guy from Canada, and he said, the way that the fairways are, the firmness of the fairways, he's not a long hitter, right? But the fairways are running like they do in a Lynx golf because they're so firm and there hasn't been a lot of rain mm-hmm. and all this. So he said, you know, he's able to keep up with the long bombers a little bit more because they can only hit it so far. Otherwise, they're hitting it into really narrow parts of these fairways, et cetera. So he's able to keep up. Here's a guy who plays well at, you know, smaller courses like Colonial, you know, which is more of a tactical golf course, not as long. But this course is the way it's set up, and the firmness of the fairways are allowing shorter hitters to stay in. So everybody is eligible to win this golf tournament, and that's terrific.
And I'll tell you the other thing viewers want to look at. Where the gallery's been walking, you can see an unusual color of turf now. I mean, in our part of the country, we have such an amount of topsoil on top of the clay that it becomes very fertile. Out there, they have all kinds of outcroppings of rock. So there is not a lot of soil between the rock and the top surface. And it burns out and hardens so fast. And that's what I've been interested in when they do those aerials. It's almost like it's white. I mean, where the gallery's been, and it's so matted down. But that's why the fairways, and you're getting that advancing of the ball where the short hitters can run it. And that's why these guys can hit irons so far and put themselves into good position on holes where it needs to be done tactically.
All right, when we come back, we want to take a few more of your calls. Who do you think is going to win it all today? Who is going to take home the U.S. Open Championship? 312-332-3776. And we've also got a great offer from our presenting sponsor at the Glenview Park Golf Club as well. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
Back, it's the CDGA Golf Show, the segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin and Mike Gilligan. CDGA Golf Show is presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And hey, if you're still looking for that perfect Father's Day gift, happy Father's Day, by the way, to you both.
Thank you.
Give them the gift of golf. You can't beat this offer here, all right? This is from the Glenview Park Golf Club, our presenting sponsor. They're making a limited number of packages that will knock the dirt off of any old pair of golf spikes. For just $149, you will get, that's $149, you will get a foursome of golf and a cart and a sleeve of premium golf balls for each player. That's right. This deal is real. Normally a $400 value for just $149. Here's what you got to do. Call the golf shop at Glenview Park Golf Club right now and tell them that you want the Father's Day special from ESPN and CDGA. 847-724-0250. 847-724-0250 and ask for the Father's Day special from ESPN and CDGA. And hey, there's more to this as well. Be one of the first five callers, and lunch is going to be on them as well. How about that? So Course Italian, one of Chicagoland's premier golf course dining options, they will get you a free lunch as well, and then you can come back for dinner at Course Italian. It's par for the course.
And let me tell you, that food up there at Glenview Park is unbelievable. I mean, Franco does such a great job up there. But Ron Cassidy, he is the captain of that ship up there. And that may be one of the finest public golf courses in the entire district. Their greens are just everything in a bag of chips.
Right, and it used to flood a lot back in the day. And Rick Jacobson, the golf course architect from Libertyville, went in there a few years ago and completely transformed the place so it doesn't flood anymore, which is great. And as you said, it's a terrific layout on a pretty small piece of property, but it really is challenging and good.
That right there, so that's the course I grew up playing, and I've spent many, many summer afternoons there as well. And I got, there's a stretch from 13, pretty much 13 through 18 is one of my favorite stretches of golf that you're going to find in the Chicagoland area.
Oh, it is. It's it makes you play every club in the bag. And when people walk up to it, they say, oh, it's a 6,000-yard golf course. But it's par 70, and it'll play the longest 6,000 you've ever played in your life.
Especially when you're playing number 10 over that water. I'm still trying to figure out what is it about? It's about 180 yards over huge water. It's a total carry. Mm-hmm. So I'm hitting driver most of the time, and it's going way left. And when I yank it left.
But what's more amazing about this deal is essentially he's giving away a dozen of premium, and yes, Pro V1s count in this deal. So I think this deal is just absolutely amazing. But yeah, be one of the first five callers at 847-724-0250 and win the lunch.
Yeah, make sure you're asking for the Father's Day special from ESPN and CDGA. Call 847-724-0250. That's courtesy of our presenting sponsor, the Glenview Park Golf Club. And you were telling me earlier, Mike, as well, someone went really low. A 12-year-old shot a, what was it, a 64.
64 at Maple Meadows.
Meadows, right.
But earlier this week, speaking of Glenview Park Golf Club, my nephew Charlie played in an event where this Lester Lowe from Evanston shot 69-69, 12 years old, wins the 12 to 15-year-old division by going minus two. I mean, these kids are just...
At 12 years old.
Right, and like fearless. You said, he shot 64 at the DuPage County Junior over at Maple Meadows a few weeks ago. So, yeah, he's a player. He's from Evanston, and you know, he's doing a great job.
I think the longest I've been one under at Glenview Park was through three.
Well,
you know,
there's not many people that have even done that.
That's pretty good. And I should mention that we had a player who Donald Bartlett who went got two holes in one within three holes at an Illinois Junior Golf Association event the other day. Now think about that. He made a hole in one on number 13 at Bristol Oaks Golf Club, which is in Bristol, Wisconsin, just over the border, and then he made a birdie on 14, which is a par 4. Then he went to 15, and with another pitching wedge, he made another hole-in-one. And can you imagine, his father was there, and his father did not have a heart attack. unbelievable. I mean, and so when you look it up on Google, it's a 1 in 67 million chance. And then I was also looking for in some other sources, and it said 1 in 156 million. So you get the idea. It's pretty rare. So
last time
congrats
I checked.
To him, Donald Bartley. He's from plays at Antioch Community High School, and he's from Antioch. So what a congratulations to him. Just tremendous.
Well, last time I checked, ones don't add up fast on a scorecard. 1-3-1-5 for three holes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, when we come back, the LIV Golf Tour has just had an event, and their golfers are playing in the U.S. Open. They're not playing very well, though. We're going to discuss the cloud that is hanging over the U.S. Open, given what's going on with LIV Golf. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.